Good morning, Eagles Way Church. How's everybody today? Good, 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 good to hear it. Well, I'm here today to talk to you a little bit about our women's conference coming up on Saturday, February 8th. But I first want to give praise and glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ for the recent addition to the Kendrick / Fulop / Cheney family.
Yay.
Our grandson was born Wednesday, January 22nd at 11:47 a.m., Jasper Sullivan Cheney. And we are so grateful to God for a very easy, well, it was, looked like it was easy. Once that epidural sticks in, it's like, woo! Anyway, praise God. I want to tell you a little story regarding this women's conference. I'm sure you all remember that back in March, April, and May of 2013, we started a series called I Am Who God Says I Am. And even though I know the Word of God reasonably well, having gone from the Catholic Church into the Pentecostal Church, and it's the Word, the Word, the Word, I'm not sure I always knew exactly what that word meant to me or in me. And so anyway, we were sitting at our semi-annual women's ladies group, and we were planning the year. And we knew that we wanted to have a women's conference, but, you know, we were sitting there and we were struggling. And I mean struggling. It was like in my spirit woman, I was just like, what the heck? What? This is just not coming easy here. Who are we going to get to speak? And having just finished some scripture almost that day or the week before in Ephesians, we just kind of got quiet for a minute. And then my dear sister, my spiritual mama, peer, friend, just spoke up very plainly, and she said, well, I think that if we're God, who God says we are, then we have to think bigger. If God truly wants the best for us, then we have to believe for the best. And we all just kind of like, and then she said, how about let's ask Taffy Dollar, Creflo Dollar's wife, World Changers Ministry, gigantic church. I grew up with him spiritually through Brother Kenneth Copeland and those guys. And it was like, I don't know if his pastor or Brother Ralph said something about that thing leapt inside my spirit for just a second. And I was drawn back to scripture that I have stood on for a long time, but again, wasn't really sure if I believed that it was for me. And we had just covered it. Excuse me with the glasses. But it goes something like this, and I do read out of the Amplified because I'm wordy, so I need a word that's wordy, okay? That you may really come to know the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body that's wholly filled and flooded with Christ himself. To me, that's like, you know, it's not just this God floating around there. It's filled and flooded with God himself. And then this was the kicker, okay? Now to him who by the power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose. And I love quoting this too, and I mess it up a lot when I'm talking to my counselees and things, but I like to throw in a few other great words, but he's able to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we could dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest powers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes that's unbelievable. But if we're believing that we are who Christ says we are at this church, then that's who we are. all of those things and beyond. And what an awesome thing. So, at that, as I was recalling those scriptures, and I was remembering that as a man thinketh, so is he. And then I said, well, as a church is, so is they. Oh, so are they. Okay? And so I just said out loud, okay, can I take on that challenge? I want to write to have you a letter. And I did. And guess what? She said yes. So Taffy Dollar will be here Saturday, February 8th. Continental Breakfast starts at 8:45. She will start to speak with some great guest choirs and singers and whatnot, our own praise and worship band. And it's going to be glorious. We'll be done by 12 noon. And I just would invite all of you to come. Please remember, ladies, that there are little flyers out, postcard flyers. Please take them, put them all around Griffin, Georgia, and or I work in Noonan, and I keep bringing piles, and they keep going. And later, they're like, Taffy Dollar's coming to your church? I'm like, yes, praise God. Taffy Dollar's coming to my church. She's going to minister about this subject that we've been talking about last year and now. I am who God says I am. And so, with that being said, church, I invite you to stand. And if for no other reason, give God your praise and glory and honor, because you are who God says you are.
Let's take a minute and do this Griffin, Georgia style, Southern.
church, everybody.
Something happening corporately in churches, and there's something happening personally in churches, And I mean like the body. And I think this, starting last year, I am who God says I am, completely changed the way I view things and the way I view me, you know, and I view viewing myself the way God views me, which is really nice, really good and happy. Sometimes I don't view myself that way. And now from the inside out, God is showing me through what Ralph is saying a whole nother level of undoing and then redoing, restoration and becoming kind of what God wants me to see myself as. The song just kind of got me this week thinking about that.
Sometimes I fail, your mercy remains, and should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending, your glory goes beyond all. Sometimes every one of us feels like we'll never be healed. Sometimes every one of us aches like we'll never be saved. Sometimes your healing come. When there's nothing left, let your healing come. Till you're rising up, let your healing come. It's your love that we adore. It's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you, we're lost in you. And it's your love that we adore. It's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you, we're lost in you. Sometimes it's like we'll never return for all the love that we've known. Sometimes it's like a smile or a song. When you feel it come and that feeling's gone, it flies. we're lost in you.
You're going to follow wherever he goes. You may be seated. God's love is so incredible. His healing comes. The ultimate healing has come this week for a couple of our members. Miss Barbara Langston yesterday went on to be with the Lord. And this morning, Joey's and Doug's mom, Miss Granny Grubbs, went on to be with the Lord. So we want to keep their families and lifted up this week and encouraged. Say prayers for them. So we'll make sure everybody is aware of that. For ushers can go ahead and begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings. We will be doing the alms at the end of the service, but thank you for your faithfulness here to Eagles Way. And Ralph will be talking a little bit about more about missions and alms at the end of the service. And but last Saturday, we had over 30-something people serving and ministering to people in our community, serving a meal, giving out food, just incredible. Those of you that weren't doing that, if you had given the alms, those funds were used to purchase and pay for that meal, and so it was pretty awesome. Let's pray. Let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you first stretched out and reached out to us. Lord, this morning we bring our tithes and our offerings and our alms, our first fruits, Lord, and we give back. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you continually give to us your unconditional love. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hello?
There we go.
Shelley Foster's grandmother passed away the other day, and tonight, visitation from 6 to 8 at Connor Westbury, and the funeral's tomorrow at 2 at Connor Westbury. And all I heard, Shelley, was how wonderful a woman she was. And God bless you and your family as these next couple of days as you mourn and celebrate the life of a wonderful person. And John Langston, I just want to commend you for being a wonderful, wonderful husband this past year, and tending to your wife and being there for her. And you just showed what real love is and real Christianity is. And the other day at the hospital, Barbara and John been coming, I guess, 5 or 6, 7 years now. And she retired as a school teacher several years ago, and they came to Sun City, and Barbara would sit right where John was sitting every Sunday morning, and music was really loud for her, but she loved it, and she didn't like how loud it was, and she complained about the loudness, but she worshiped God. And the other day when I was at the hospital, I've had a few experiences like this, but over the last year, I've prayed for Barbara a lot, gone to the house. And the other day, when I walked up to the bed, she just cut her eyes up at me and looked straight through me. And she didn't say a word, but I knew what she said. She looked at me and she said, "I want to go home. Don't you pray for me to be healed." I heard that as clear from her spirit as anything I've ever heard before. And we know that that's where she is today. And that's where Joy's mother is today. Barbara Langston's memorial service will be Thursday at Connor Westbury at 2 o'clock. And I just visited Joy and told Joy, I said, "You know, your mother loved church. I mean, she loved church. And she is in heaven right now because the book of Revelation really clarifies that simultaneously in heaven and earth on Sunday mornings, there's a worship service going on. And you can just imagine, Brandon, the worship service that she's in this morning. Because the book of Revelation says, "Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four living beings said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb." And that's what's happening right now in heaven, and that's what's happening in earth. And we together make up the family of God, those that are there and those that are here. And we're celebrating today some wonderful lives, some wonderful people that are in the very presence of God Almighty today. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said that in this world we have a life, but we have a better life even after this world. And if we had hope in this life only, we'd be all people most miserable. And you said that we sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And for that, we give you honor and praise and thanks, helping our ears to hear today who we really are in you. And we'll give you praise and forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. I want to talk this morning about overcoming labels and really seeing that we are who God says we are. And we have to agree with that and get on with the program. I want to read a statement I read last week. I may read this several times over the next few weeks. People define sin and a lot of things, but this is really a good definition of sin. Sin is ultimately a refusal to believe that what God wants in us is my happiness and fulfillment in life. There's so many people in the world that do not know that God really wants you happy and God really wants you to be fulfilled in life, that Jesus really did come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, more fulfilling. He really did come for that reason. And he comes so that we could experience heaven here on earth and go to heaven. He came so we could experience all the fullness of the Godhead. He came so that we could know what it is to be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and peace. And back when Moses went to that bush, and again I said the other week, that when he saw that bush burning and it did not consume, what happened, I believe, in Moses was his question was, how is it this bush just keeps aflame with the fire of God? How is it this bush just keeps burning but it doesn't burn up? Because Moses had that fire in him at one time. He had that passion for God. He had a fire burning in him to help his people, but he lost that fire. For 40 years, he wandered in the wilderness, and he got that fire back when he had an encounter with God. Benjamin Franklin said, many people die at age 25. They just don't bury them until they're about 75. They die at 25, but they don't get buried until about 75. Benjamin Franklin helped draft the Declaration of Independence at age 70. He invented bifocals at age 78. He signed the Constitution at 81, all during a time when the average life expectancy was under 50 years, because there was something in him that was a fire. And I just want to tell you, it's never, ever too late to change. Moses was 80 when he had that encounter with God. You're never too old to change. I was thrilled Wednesday night when I saw my mother come at 94 years old to a school of positive thinking. And my brother, 80 years old, for him to sit in here, that was the greatest miracle. Just kidding about his age. But I'm not kidding about the miracle. So if my brother and mother are sitting in here on Wednesday nights, that's pretty cool, a school of positive thinking. If you're not able to come and you would like a CDs of this. The whole CD set will be 12 of them. If you want CDs or DVDs, they're $75 for the entire set. If you're coming and you miss a Wednesday night because you just something's come up and you can't be there and you give me a legitimate excuse, we'll give you a DVD or a CD. But we want to make it available to everybody. We had 144 people here Wednesday night, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing of learning more and more about how to be positive. Two things I've learned that has made it so real in my heart and my life is that negativity will implode on you, but positiveness will expand. And you can't get too much. Can't get too much. If you get it every single day, if you listen to the tapes, you listen to a CD, if you got around somebody and talked to you about being positive every single day, it's not too much. It's not too much. Book of Revelation, we're going to look at a scripture in Revelation chapter 2. We looked at this last year. We're going to look at it again this year in a little different way. But Book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Say the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was us seeing Christ the way that He really is. Not as He was when He walked the shores, when He was for 33 and a half years, when He was with His disciples for three of those years. This was not the Christ that you see in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, you see the glorified Christ. And in the very first verse, it says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to John to show His servants the events that will soon take place. How many say soon? Now, I don't know what soon is to you, but what is soon to you? If I said I'm coming to see you soon, when do you think that's going to be? Not too far, right? I'm going to be there soon. And so then he begins to expand it, and John the Revelator is exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He was one of the original disciples, and all of them had suffered martyrs' deaths. They either had their heads cut off, they were fed to lions. And John, they tried to kill John, and they put him in boiling oil, but he didn't die. And when they took him out of that boiling oil, because they could not do that again, you could not administer the death sentence twice, they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And here was all alone on this Isle of Patmos, but it says in Revelation chapter 1 that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't moaning and groaning about his dilemma, but he says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now what that's saying was that he was actually beside himself on the Lord's day. That he had looked beyond where he was and what was happening and what was going on, and he saw himself the way that he really needed to see himself, not as someone exiled on the Isle of Patmos, but as a child and a servant of the Most High God. Amen. And then the Bible says that he heard a loud voice, and he turned to see the voice. And he saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands was one likened to the Son of Man. And his hair was white like wool, and his garment was his feet burned like fine bronze burning in a furnace. Out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword. He said there were seven lampstands, and each one of those lampstands represented the seven churches of Asia Minor. They were actual seven churches that John was about to say something to. That God was giving him a revelation of Christ. Christ was going to tell him what to do, what to say to these seven churches. And so he takes each one of them one at a time and begins to talk to them. He writes a letter to him. He says to some of them, let me commend you on what you're doing here. You're really doing a good job. Well, you're not doing too good a job here. Let me just, you need to straighten this out. This is not where you need to be. But to every one of the churches, he always ended with this. To everyone who overcomes or is victorious. And he says to the first church, if you're an overcomer, I'll give you fruit from the tree of life, the paradise of God. Now, he wasn't talking about when they get to heaven. He said, if you will be an overcomer, you will taste of the fruit of the tree of life in the paradise of God. Says to another church, now, if anyone with ears to hear, they must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Who's ever victorious, this second death, it can't come to you because you have life eternal. We'll skip over the next one because that's my text for the day. To another one, he said, to you who are victorious and obey to the very end, I'm going to give you authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I've received from my Father, and I'll also give them the morning star. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to what the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. John was here this morning, he would say to you and I, you got to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and understand it. To another one, he said, to those who are victorious, you'll be clothed in white. I'll never erase your names from the book of life. And I will announce you before my Father and his angels that you're mine. And to another one, he says, all you who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God. And they will never have to leave it. I'll write on them the name of my God. I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. Are you ready? That comes down from heaven and from God. And I will also write on them my new name. Amen. What has God named us? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, this is the text. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches, to everyone who is victorious or overcomes. To everyone who is overcome, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name. And that no one understands except the one who receives it. Isn't that a great verse? Now, who is an overcomer? How do you get this victorious title? How do you get this overcoming title? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, and they overcame him, the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Have you got the blood of the Lamb? By the word of their testimony, are you saying it? And they didn't love their lives unto death. They said, the blood of Christ is on my life. I'm going to confess it with my mouth, and I'm not going to love my life, but his life. With me? I'm going to love his life in me. And so he says, if you will do that, I'll give you manna from heaven. And that manna from heaven, and Psalm 78, verses 24 through 25 says that he gave them manna from heaven in the wilderness. And he said, and it was the bread that angels eat. Bread that angels eat. The first church in the wilderness, if they had angels' bread, what do we have? If the manna which they partook of every day that God fed them was angels' food, then what is the food for which we have available for us today? And the food that the angels have is the food that we look at, can look at and read every single day. It's the word of the living God. It's the bread from heaven. This is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we have the bread of life that we can eat, we can partake of, and we can confess every single day of our life. He said, I'll give you a white stone. A white stone simply means you are completely justified. And that day, a lot of times, if a judge was going to put a verdict on somebody, if it was a black stone, you were guilty. If it was a white stone, you were set free. He said, I'm going to give you a white stone saying you are completely justified. Not I used to say justification was, until Kelly Varner taught me different years ago, because I said it the way I'd always heard it, that justification is just as if you never sinned. Now, that's a good definition. It's a good one. And that one right there is enough probably to get you through. But what it really means is this. Justification is not just as if you never sinned. It is you never sinned. It's different. Now, that's even better, isn't it? When Caleb Arnold looked at me one day, he said, Bjorn, you know what justification means? I said, yeah, I know what justification means. I was taught by some of the greatest theologians in the world. I read the books. It means just as if you never sinned. He said, you're wrong. It means you never sinned, because God never sees you in this state. He sees you in the eternal state that you always have been and always will be, and that's where God sees you through the Lord Jesus Christ. You never sinned. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? I'm going to give you a new name. And what that really means is I'm going to redefine who you are. I'm going to redefine who you are. I want to give you the definition of who you really are and not the definition that you've placed on yourself or you've let other people place on you. I'm going to redefine you, and I'm going to tell you this is who you are. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. That's enough to go, Even before he chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Wow. Wow. This is good. Galatians chapter 3. I'm being deliberate and slow because I don't want to get arrogant with it. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. I've read that thing 1,000 times over my lifetime. But that just doesn't get old. That is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in the Word of God. That we're sons of Abraham. We're the true Israel of God. Not circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so now you go to Romans chapter 4. Verse 16, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. We are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. Not if we live according to the law of Moses, but if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. And that is what the Scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham obeyed all the laws believed everything that God said, walked blameless before God. No. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Now, I like the old King James Version because that's what I memorized to start with. Who calls those things that are not as though they were. Another translation, he makes the impossible possible. He makes the impossible possible. He calls those things that are not as though they were. Then he shows us exactly how he did that with Abraham. See, God changed Abraham's name. How many of you know, remember he changed Abraham? His name was Abram. And Sarah's name was Sarah. And God changed Abraham's name. And what he did with both of them, he put an H in their name. It went from Abram to Abraham. And Sarah to Sarah. And what the H was in the Hebrew, it is the breath of God. He said, Abram, you'll no longer be Abram in the flesh, but Abraham. You're going to be the breath of God in you now. First Adam was a living soul. The second Adam was a life-giving spirit. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. She was 90 years old. I get encouraged about that. I don't know about y'all. That at 62, that gives me hope. And so he says, you know, my body's 100, but my spirit's not. My body's 100, Sarah's body's 90, but my spirit's not. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too. It wasn't just for Abraham. When God was dealing with Abraham, he was dealing with you. Assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. And I just wrote this in my Bible. I don't know where I read it. So long as we believe that everything depends on our own efforts, we are bound to be pessimists. So long as we believe that everything depends on our own efforts, we're bound to be pessimists. But if we believe it depends on God, you're bound to be an optimist. You have to be. See, I don't have time to get all the details of it. When God made a covenant, even back then, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he came down. Abraham was asleep because God wanted him to know this covenant has nothing to do with what you do. It only has to do with what you believe. It has everything to do with what I do. And so God himself walked in the midst of sacrifices and cut covenant with Abraham. And Abraham's asleep. He's asleep. Now, here's what this word promise means. We're going to throw the Greek word up there. We're going to get smart today. You ready? This first Greek word is called huspasmasios. Now, if you got a better pronunciation of that, go ahead and give it a shot. But that's mine. I promise to do this if you do this. How many has ever made that promise? I'm good at that one. Thank you for being honest, David. Barbara, if you do this, I'll do this. How many has ever made those promises and still didn't keep up with them? Every one of you have. Look at me like that. Every one of you made a promise that if you do this, I'll do this. And they did that, but you didn't hold up your deal. You know you did it. My brother used to tell me that all the time coming. I promise you, Bearden, if you do this, I'll do this. Liar, 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 pants on fire. He didn't do it. He promised me if I would do this for him, then he would do this. If I do that chore, he would do that chore for me. He didn't do it. That was a trick. All a trick. And that kind of promise, see, God knew that you were created in his likeness, and he knew that too many people are going to make a trick. They're going to trick you with that. They'll get you to do this because they're selfish, but they have no intentions of doing anything else. Has your little kid ever told you, I promise that if you give me this, I'll do this? Man, I've made so many of those promises to my daddy, it is pitiful. Man, Dad, if you help me get this car, I promise I'll take care of this car. First one he got me, I blew the engine up. Didn't put any oil in it. All of a sudden, I called Dad. I said, Dad, something's wrong with this car. I said, what's wrong? I said, listen. He said, oh, my God. He said, you done blew that engine up, son. I said, well, I ain't blow no engine up. I don't know how to blow an engine up, Daddy. How did I blow an engine up? He said, you got any oil in it? I said, I don't know. I don't check it. Blew an engine up. I'll do this, you do this. Now, this is the word, Greek word, that Paul uses. It's a promise made out of the goodness of someone's heart, and it's an unconditional promise that says, I'm going to do this, I don't care what you do. I'm going to do this, no matter what you do, I'm keeping my part. That's God's promise to us. I'm keeping my part. Hallelujah. In Joshua chapter 2, we can't let other people label us. You see, the biggest reason, I believe with all my heart, that the biggest struggle we have in life is not what we say about ourselves. That's big, but I don't think it's the biggest. I think the biggest thing, that problem that we have is we listen to what other people say. And we take their labels over us. You said the other night when you asked the man, 62-year-old man, what if somebody had told you when you was little that you were this and this and this and this and this? Would your life be much better today? Absolutely. If somebody just told me other things instead of what I heard. Young man a couple of weeks ago came up to me. And he pulled me off to the side. And he said, can I talk to you a minute? He said, I'm an addict. I've been clean for 7 years, but last Saturday I slipped. Now I've been clean for 7 days. And he was just devastated and broken. I looked at him and I said, let me tell you what you heard, now I'm going to tell you what I heard. You heard yourself say, you failed last Saturday, and you're a failure. I heard you've been clean 7 years and a week. That's not a failure. All you heard was that one day. I heard 7 years, 1 week, you clean. That's not a failure. That's success. There was a woman named Ahab, and it says, and Joshua secretly sent out 2 spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the 2 men went out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and stayed there all night. And all through the scripture, you read it over and over and over again. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Even in Hebrews chapter 11, in the heroes of faith, it was Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Well, it says that she had taken them up to the roof, and she hidden them beneath bundles of flax. Now look at this scripture. in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 13. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust in her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. Actually, she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax. She used to be a prostitute. She used to be a harlot. But something happened to her before she put the scarlet cord out the window. I'm saying that like y'all all know what that's all about. Most of you do. And so before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. I know the Lord's given you this land, she told them. Half of Israel didn't believe that. I know. We are all afraid of you, everyone in the land's living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. We know what he did for you with the Amorite kings of the east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is supreme God of the heavens above and the earth beneath. Sound like a saved woman to me, doesn't you? Sound like this woman had it together. And she's making the confession that nobody else is making. She's believing what most of everybody else is not believing. And because of that, her household was saved. Because they made a promise to her that when we come, and these walls come tumbling down, and what happened, one of the greatest miracles that ever happened, children of Israel, she put the scarlet cord, she lived in the wall. And when they marched around Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, every wall fell but hers. Her house was the only one that didn't fall. Because what did the Bible say? He who builds his house upon a rock, when the storms come and the winds blow, it will not fall. Paul said she's Rahab the harlot. But Matthew, when he gives the genealogy of Jesus, did not say Rahab the harlot was the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ. Just said, and Rahab, mother of, all the way down to Jesus Christ. And she is in the genealogy of Christ. Judges chapter 6, the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belongeth to Josh, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Almighty hero, the Lord is with you. Almighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Where are all the miracles? Didn't they say, always they say, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength that you have. I'm sending you. I want to close with this. Just let you know that what God wants you to do is go with the strength that you have, believing in everything that God has said about you, not what other people have said about you. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. Just because you lie, you're not a liar. Because you've committed adultery doesn't mean you're an adulterer. Because you've done this doesn't mean you're that. Because we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and he doesn't see you as anything other than who you are in him. And we will go in that strength that we have. I assure you what's going to happen. Jesus said, I will not bruise. I will not crush a broken flax. No matter, I won't put out just, if it's just a smoking flask, I won't put it out. In other words, if there's just a little fire there, a little smoke there, I won't quench it. See, God didn't look at us and looking for the great big something in us. He's just looking for a little life in us, a little faith in us, a little something that just says, I believe, I trust, I am who God says I am. And you go in that strength, and I assure you that from this moment on, your life will tend upward, and things are going to be totally different than they ever have been or ever will be. Because he really is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think according to that power that worketh in us. Go in the strength that you have. What little strength do you have? What little knowledge do you have? I am who God says I am. And this is how much God loves us. This is how much God cares. Gideon said, God, I got to have a sign. I got to have a sign. I used to think that that's one of the worst things anybody could do is ask God for a sign. God didn't discipline Gideon. What do you want, Gideon? Well, I want to get up in the morning and there's going to be this piece of wool here. I want all the dew to be on the ground be wet, the wool be dry. Okay? Got up the next morning and it was there. Another sign. This time, Lord, don't get upset with me, but this time, let the wool be wet with dew, but all the ground be dry. Okay. It happened. And you know what? God went on and spoke to Gideon one night because he saw he was still a little afraid. He says, I want you to go down to the Midianites' camp. And he went down to the Midianites' camp. He stood outside of a tent, and he heard a soldier get up, waking out of a dream. And began to tell his partner in the room. I don't know if it's his partner or not, but tell the guy. That didn't sound right. Tell the guy that was with him that I'm off. Told him something. It was good. Yeah, this thing is something going to happen. Basically told him Israel's going to get us, what he ended up saying. And he heard that and he went, wow. God doesn't mind confirming himself to you over and over and over and over and over again. If my child comes up to me and wants confirmation, I love her, I'll tell her 1,000 times till she gets it. My grandkids want confirmation of my love, all they got to ask me, I'll shake heaven and earth to prove to them I love them. If I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more the Heavenly Father give to us? If you want to convince your kids you love them more than anything else, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to convince you that He loves you? You got to hear it. You got to understand it. You got to keep it. Because there's going to be knuckleheads out there that are going to try to tell you you're somebody else than who you really are. I've been said in this city, I'm a this, I'm that. I've been called a heretic. I've been called a whoremonger. I've been called all kind of names in this city, and I ain't none of them. I'm a prophet of the living God with the Spirit of God living inside me that speaks the words of the living God day in and day out. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. And you are who God is. Says that you are. You're not a failure. You're a success. You're God's child. Amen. I've asked Ralph, come on up here, Ralph. I was talking to him several weeks back, and I want to give Ralph some liberty because at the last Sunday in each month, we're going to be, emphasize alms. This past week, a lot of stuff was done, and Raph will share some of that. But what we want to begin doing the last Sunday of the month is not only emphasize alms, but missions. And what we want to do the last Sunday of the month is the monies that go in here, we'll make sure the alms are taken care of, but we want to start giving more and more to missions. And so it's going to be both. And so I'm just going to ask Raph to share a little bit about that.
One of the new names that he wants to give you is that you're a giver. That's a name you really want him to give you. Have you considered my servant the giver? Because the name we need to drop is, have you considered my servant the taker? You see, God has never called you and I to be better. But God is forever calling you and I to be greater. Greater than we are. So there's a forever pulling of the Spirit to pull you to be greater. Now Jesus said there's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's simply meaning also there's no greater love than you will put yourself on the back burner and put others on the front burner. That is amplifying, exemplifying what Christ is in you. The Bible said he gives seed to the sower. Now on the fourth Sunday of each month, we will be taking the mission offering, the alms. Never come to church unprepared to give. Now if you want him to name you my servant, the giver, then there's a name to live up to. Francis used to raise a lot of money for us in missions because we were very involved with missions. At one time, 37% of all the income we brought in went to missions. We built churches for the Mayo Indians. We've been 32 times to Africa. We built schools in Africa. And Francis used to get up and would tell people to never, never, never come to the house of God to bring a mission offering empty-handed. She would tell people, bring something. But remember, if you don't love it, God don't want it. Don't bring God what you don't like or what you can't use no more. I was traveling one time as an evangelist many, many, many years ago, about 36 years ago, and I had this lady come to me. She said, well, we couldn't use this. We thought you might want it. And so many of us give God what we have abundance of. See, I believe you should give something, if nothing else, bring a piece of jewelry that you love. Bring something that you love and give it. I remember when Frances wanted to declutter her life a couple of years ago before she went through her Nirvana experience. She wanted to declutter her life, so she started with a closet. Which at one time was a holy of holies she entered into. And she said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of all these dresses, being I don't wear dresses anymore. And I remember our daughter came over the house who also has an abundance. And she said, Mommy, you're not going to use these dresses? You're not going to wear them anymore? Nope. Well, can I have them? Nope. Because you don't need them. Now get this. I'm going to take what I have excess of and turn it into my seed. And I'm going to plant these dresses as seeds into people that would like to have them. So you and I got seeds. You got seeds. God opened our eyes and let us see you have seeds. So then she adopted this philosophy. Anything that I've not used in a year, I don't need. Let me turn it into a seed. Let me get rid of those. That mindset is, well, I may need it one day. Well, 365 days passed, you ain't need it. What's the chance the next 10 days you're going to need it? I heard last week, was over 300 people, Will? 30-something servers in this house showed up to serve. That's what you want to be. One of the new names you want to God to label you is a giver. A giver. Not only will people be blessed and helped by alms, but also missions. Nehemiah said, we lay up a portion unto whom nothing's been laid up for. We help those. Now remember this. Whenever you obey God, you make God real to somebody. 5 times I had the opportunity to go down to the Pantene Jungle in Mexico and present a pastor a brand new church that we raised the money and we went and built. And just see that face of that pastor. We ain't got to meet on the bridge no more. Nope, you got a building now, son. It's yours. One of the great positives on we'll be teaching in that one of the ingredient part of being positive, you got to be a giver. People that's not a giver will never be positive. They will never maintain positiveness. But you got to be a giver. Giving what? Giving yourself. Well, I can't put myself in that offering. You'd be surprised what you can put in offering. Take one of the diamond rings you got and say, I put that in my offering. Give, and it'll be given back to you. Whatever you give, press down, shake it over and over. But the crux of where we're coming now is, think more than just about yourself. It's all about others. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, everybody stand. Amen. Now, I'm a firm believer in naming your seed. No farmer would just reach in a seed bin and pick out seeds. He would know what's butter bean seed. He would know what is corn seed. He would know what is peas seed. He would know what all the seeds are. I believe in naming your seed. So what I want you to do, I want you to get prepared mentally. Always be first prepared mentally, emotionally, to give. And then hold your seed in your hand. And then you pronounce what that seed is going to. It's going to help others. It's going to missions. If you don't know what it's going to, ask Will. Ask Pastor Buren. They will tell you what these seeds are going to. And name your seed. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. All right. Father, now you that's prepared to give, I want to see your hand. Raise your hand as a witness. Now, Lord, you see their hands. You see their hands, which is a reflection of their heart. And now, Lord, they come giving unto the alms and giving unto the missions. We are extending the outreach of the arm of Eagles Way Church and to the community and to the world. So, Lord, bless this arm now as we extend it to the community, extend it to the world by blessing what's in our hand, our seed. So take these seeds and magnify them and grow them, develop them, making you real to the community and to the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your seed, amen. Give this. We bless you as you bring your seed. May the Lord bless you and watch over you. May the good hand of God favor your life. Oh, it's something about bringing the seed. Lord, take these seeds, God, and bless these seeds by extending the arm of the Eagles Way Church. By extending the arm of this church to reach the community and the world. You said a portion of them nothing been prepared for. Bless those, Lord. Bless these seeds that we give. A new name we have, written in glory. That new name is we're a giver. We're extending the arm of Eagles Way Church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the hearts of the people. You called us to be greater than we are. God is extending the arm, expanding the arm. And he stretched forth his hand, extending it to the community. To the